morning, everybody, and welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and I am super excited to be here. We're going to start off our hour with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Welcome, everybody. It is Sunday, March 9th, and my name is Sarah, and as always, I am very excited to be here and share today's message. I have steadily been doing the Daniel fast for 9 days now, and I fasted on Friday as well from everything, and I think fasting is super important, and I'm going to get into that in my subscriber info, but I did pray and meditate quite a bit this weekend, and yeah, we're going to get right to it. First, we're going to do the Ten Commandments, just in the spirit of observing them and keeping our lives clean. 1, you shall have no other gods before me. 2, you shall not make idols. 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 5, honor your father and mother. 6, you shall not murder. 7, you shall not commit adultery. 8, you shall not steal. 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And 10, you shall not covet. So let's get to our message this week. And this week, the message is near and dear to my heart. It's about trusting God. I think sometimes it's difficult to get out of our own way when we are on the path to God. It can also be confusing, exasperating. There's a lot to repent for most people. And, you know, I struggled with this as well. I still struggle with this. I become righteous in my own thoughts sometimes, and that is not God, right? If you're ever celebrating yourself or how important you are, or what you are doing, you are definitely on the wrong path. Do not get carried away by that. Don't get carried away by the thought that you know what God wants, because truly nobody does. We can only try to do what we think God wants us to do. If you are in control, God is not in control. So I've struggled a lot trying to figure things out on my own, and I kind of did this to myself because I don't belong to a traditional church. I study on my own. I do Sabbath on my own every Friday. I pray and meditate and do all the things that I do pretty much by myself. And I have entertained churches. And I don't think that everybody in any church is bad. I think that there are good people in the churches. And it is just a matter of degrees for me. There are things that I don't agree with, right? So I have a hard time putting that aside sometimes. And it is something I need to work on. Obviously, I think fellowship is important. One of the reasons that I started this podcast was for people that don't feel comfortable in churches, that the churches feel either overwhelming to them or just, you know, so full of rules that they can't figure out what is going on. So this podcast is dedicated to those type of people that just look in the world and, you know, want to do good, but don't know where to join to do that. And I am definitely one of those people, right? Like, I've been in and out of churches, and I love my alone time with God. I prefer to be alone with God. And I know wherever two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And I know that that is super important, but it's also important to note that Jesus talked about, you know, taking time to yourself and doing prayer in private and, you know, not celebrating the things you've done in front of people. So I think there's two schools of thought for me. I do get out of the house and I do fellowship with people, but a lot of my God time is by myself. And during these times, like especially lately, I've been trying to figure stuff out, and I realized I've been trying to figure it out on my own. Instead of just letting go and kind of trusting the process and trusting God, I tried to figure it out on my own. And, you know, I am one of those people. I've been very hurt in my life, like very hurt by people. So I always have a plan. I always have a backup plan to whatever plan I have because I'm used to getting hurt. And living at that level all the time isn't necessarily healthy. I try to let go with God. I do. And I have gotten better at it. But it is still a process for me. And, you know, I remember, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago, I was just frustrated and I couldn't figure out if I was on the right track or if what I'm doing is right. And I just prayed to God and I just said, you know, I can't do this alone. I can't try to figure this out. I need you in my life and I need you to show me that I'm on the right path. And He did. And I was very grateful for that. But it is a thing that I do try to do things on my own. I mean, I've been on my own most of my life. So, of course, you know, trying to do this, I want to be perfect. And I want to pray the most and fast the most and do the most things right. And I want to be a better person. And I want to be like Jesus was. And, you know, it took me a lot of humility and a lot of realization to realize that I can't do that. I can't do the things He's asking me to do on my behalf. Like, it has to be God's plan, and I need God's help. So trusting God, I think, is one of those things that is just absolutely necessary if you're going to give your life over to God. And it's hard. And, you know, I was frustrated with the fact that I sin and I don't want to sin anymore. And then I realized in the midst of my meditation, I started the Daniel fast 9 days ago. And the reason that I started it was because I wanted to get closer to God. I wanted to understand what I needed to do. And I did receive some of that this last time. The first time I prayed on the fast and meditated, I did not receive that. So it is definitely, I'm a week and a half in-ish. So Matthew 16:24 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, what does that mean? At first, you know, I just thought it was sacrificing stuff, and that's fine and good. You know, I've given up sugar. I fast once a week, at least. I'm doing the Daniel fast, so I am now fasting for meat products, sugar, lots and lots of things that I cannot eat, and that is all for God. I am usually a meat eater, but I want to be closer to God, so I am sacrificing these things to do that. Because I feel like fasting is the one thing that I do well, and I'm sure that I can be proven wrong about that, but I do feel like it's one of the things that I do well. And it does bring me closer to God, and it does allow me to have revelation often. So I used to think that that was what that was, right? Just sacrificing. But I realized that the root of my sin with people was in order to get them to like me, or because I don't have any family, I want people to like me. I want to be accepted, and I want love, and I want all these things, right, in my life. And it all has to do with relationships and family. And I realize that's it. That's my cross, my relationships and my desire for love, right? Because desire is problematic, to say the least. And I want that almost more than I want anything, right? Not more than God, but it's pretty close. And if I'm going to sin in order to get those things, do I love that more than God? I mean, that's a question, right? If you love anything more than you love God, then you have to examine that. Because you're not being true to yourself if you do. It has to be God first, everything else second, right? So I realized I was stuck in this pattern. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And for me, like, the renewing of my mind in this moment was that I identified my cross, and I decided at that moment that I need to accept that I may never have another relationship, and that I don't want another relationship more than I want God. I don't want family more than I want God, and they are important to me. But they're not more important than God. So I had to, in my mind, sacrifice almost those things to God. I had to give that up for God, because that is the root of my sin, caring what other people think. You know, lying or gossiping so that people love me, or whatever it is at the time. And it's not to say that there are not times that God wants you to take the lead role in your life. He absolutely does. But what he doesn't want is for you to do it without him. He always needs to be the reason, right? If the glory is not going to God, who created our world, then it's going to something else. And whatever else that is not okay. You know, I looked at this totally different afterwards. I realized that desire is the thing that gets us in trouble. It's not money. It's not things, material possessions. It's not love. It's not any of the things that this world has. It is the desire for those things that gets us into trouble. So you have to realize that you need to let go of the desire to have these things. And when I tell you that I have cut out my life, and this is in no way bragging about what I've done, I'm trying to give people insight into what they can do to be closer to God. And it will absolutely work if you do these things. I stand by what I say. I know this to be true. If you give away the 5 coats that you don't wear and start giving away the stuff that you truly don't need, clean your life out. Clean it out. Jesus said, sell all your possessions and follow me, right? That was how to be a disciple of his. Sell everything you have and follow me. So if you do that, if you start doing that and clearing out the clutter of your life, you will be amazed at what happens to your mind. And this has happened for me. So I absolutely believe that the path I have been on is for God. I absolutely believe that I am going to continue down this path for God. I don't know why. People often ask me what the outcome of what I am doing is, or why am I doing this? And my answer is, it is a walk of faith. This is my walk of faith. This is what I have to do to reconcile myself to God. Not that I've ever been a terrible person. I don't think that I've been a terrible person. I think that I've loved and I have forgiven and I have done things that, you know, I hope make me a good person in the eyes of God. But I sinned so much and in so many egregious ways. I've never murdered anybody. As far as I know, I haven't borne false testimony against anybody. But I have accused people and then it turned out to not be that person. And then I apologized. But the sin was already committed, right? I have stolen. I've definitely lied. I've definitely gossiped. I have an ex that I probably coveted. And so all of these sins, all of these things that I've done throughout my life have been numerous, and I have repented on a lot of them. I had a period last July through September, October, that it was basically just crying and praying and repenting every day. And I was on a very scarce diet. I was on more than the Daniel fast. I always called it God's diet because I felt like it was very minimal. And my mind became very clear about God in that time. It's when I started meditating on the Word. And I mean truly meditating. And I'm going to go into how I meditate in my subscriber info today, because I encourage you guys to join me with that, because it is enlightening and you won't feel the same afterwards. As far as the coveting, you know, we look at what people have and we look at what people have. And for me, it was looking at people's families, right? Like, oh, well, they have a whole family and I never had that. And You just got to let it go. I didn't even realize really that I was doing these things. I just knew that the more alone I became, the more I tried to have it. And the more I tried to have it, the more I was willing to break the commandments to get it. It didn't happen when I had all the friends and all the relationships and when I was happy or I thought I was happy. I wasn't really happy, but I thought I was. I was known for being honest at one point in my life. I mean, people could ask me and I would tell them the unfettered truth. And somehow that changed. And I don't know when it changed or why it changed, but I kind of lost my faith in good. I don't think that I've ever lost my faith in God. I've always had a relationship with God. Just maybe not the relationship that he would have realized for me. Matthew 4:4 says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's when you look at desire and you look at the desire for all these things that we have, right? They don't give you life. They don't give you anything, actually, because God is everything. God gives you everything. And desire does that to you. It is the deepest desires of your heart that cause it to go astray. It causes you to take your eyes off God. Think of it almost as a distraction, right? Like you're walking around in your daily life, you're doing your job, you see something you want, you start coveting that. And so that becomes your new God. Instead of keeping your eyes focused on God and saying, I don't need that expensive car, I don't need that television, I don't need any more stuff. Quitting Amazon, quitting shopping at Amazon, I do still buy necessities at Amazon sometimes, but I don't shop anymore. I don't buy anything new anymore because there's so much stuff in the world. I don't need anything new. It is my opinion, and Matthew 6:22 says, "It's the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light." Right? I think desire is the root of all falling away from God. I think that when you start taking your eyes off of God and you stop remembering to pray and you stop remembering to fast, or you skip a couple Sabbaths, right? I celebrate the Sabbath on Friday to Saturday. And I do this for God. I don't do this for myself. It is for my rest, but it is, I dedicate my Sabbath to God. And maybe I'll just watch a show, usually a non-demonic show, but I watch like The Chosen, or I'll study the Bible. I watch Bible study a lot on YouTube. I've mentioned that before. I follow Kanoi Heart Dive podcast, and I will meditate and I will pray and I talk to God all the time. That is having your eye on God. When you are talking to God during the day more than you are talking to any other person, that is having your eye on God, right? God will not give you everything you want. He won't. He'll give you what you need. It's like being a parent, right? Like you have a child and the children want everything. My son always wanted everything. And you take them to the store and they want everything. And they have no care for your difficulties or your needs or your financial worries, right? They just want whatever they see. And regardless, it's like this momentary fulfilling of some need within them, regardless of the ramifications. And that's what desires are like with God, right? Like we are in the store, we're like, I want this, I want that, I want a car, I want a house, I want this, I want a boyfriend, I want this, I want that. I mean, I have to believe that there's a large amount of prayers out there that are just about what people want. Not about giving glory to God, not about asking for help, I think, set aside. I think you should ask God for help, but concentrating your prayers on what you're getting is not, in my eyes, the way to go. In order to fully recognize the love of God and His blessings, you must let go of the desires of your own heart. You have to let God be your number one priority. Your desires for love and money, etc., etc., right? What will lead you down the path of sin? That's what will do it. And it's a slippery slope once you start. Once you start on that path and you're like, okay, well, I'll just buy this because I really want this. So I'm just going to buy this. I'm going to get the newest iPad or the newest iPhone, right? That's what starts it. Trusting God means truly letting go, because you cannot do this without Him. Things are getting serious right now in the world. They're serious. There is a serious spiritual war going on. And you know it's happening because you can see all the sides fighting against each other, right? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Now more than ever, we need to trust God. We need to unite. We need to stop holding each other accountable for sins that we have ourselves. And that includes everything. I know it's hard to look at the child molester or the murderer and say that I forgive you and I love you, but we have to do that. Because nobody is beyond God's reach. Nobody. You have to trust in Him. It is a difficult thing for me to let go of my own control, right? Because ultimately, I control everything around me so that nothing hurts me. And I'm probably doing that with church, by the way. I feel like I should be in church, but I don't know that I feel comfortable there. And I hear things that don't sound right to me, that I just feel like God isn't saying to me, and maybe He's saying it to them, but I don't think that I'm alone in receiving revelation from God. I think that a lot of people are right now, because He wants us to unite under the single banner of trusting God. He wants us to realize how much we have in common, not how much we have different. Because in God's eyes, we're all children of God. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." So are you called? If you are called, commit to it. Commit to trusting Him. Give up the everyday distractions that pull you down, because you have to do it. You don't need another car, and you don't need another television. Throw it away. Give it away. Right? I try not to give away. When I give away stuff, I do not give anything that induces somebody else to sin directly. I wouldn't give away, like, I have some D&D stuff that I'm giving away. I have, you know, movies. Don't give it to somebody else. I used to have this huge thing with food. I still have it. that people buy the cheapest food they can for people that are hungry. And I say, if you wouldn't eat the food, why would you give it to somebody else to eat? Why would you give a mother something full of chemicals and additives, something to feed her hungry children, when you would not give that to your own children? So do what you want, but think about your giving in those terms. Think about what you're giving to people. Think about the fact that you don't wear 20 jackets or 60 pairs of shoes. It's incredible the amount of waste. I mean, we talk about the government having waste, but what about us individually? We need to have 20 pairs of shoes. I'm not buying into it anymore. I'm not buying into the clothes anymore. I'm trying to switch my wardrobe to cotton or linen clothes. I am slowly doing that because I also don't buy anything anymore. But I do go to like Goodwill and thrift stores. And if I find something that's linen or I find something that's cotton, I usually will pay a couple of dollars to get it. But I refuse to participate in the material sin of this world. And that's what it is. It's sin, right? It's all stuff. Everybody just wants stuff. And it's a shame because we're buying stuff and forgetting people. And we're buying stuff and forgetting God. Psalm 9:10 says, "And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." So put your trust in God. There's so many verses on this subject. I mean, it's long and just, it's long, right? There's so many verses that support. I mean, one of the most powerful is when Jesus said, "Sell everything you own and follow me." To most people, I wish I could sell everything I own and follow him. I wish he was here right now. I'd sell everything I have, or I'd probably just walk away from it. I don't even know that I'd sell it. I want a world that's good. I pray for a world where people don't sin and where life is good, and I don't have to worry about the person next to me stabbing me in the back, and I don't have to worry about loving people because everybody will love people. A place where you never have to worry about the intentions in the world, right? It is a beautiful dream. And I hope that it comes true soon because it is exhausting living in our world right now. And not that I'm not happy. I am happy for the good news, the kingdom. I mean, nothing, if you believe in God, is going to touch you. They can't win. They're not going to win over you. They may think they are, but they're not. Because even God has dominion over Satan. Even God has dominion over the darkness. He was able, when he looked upon the earth and it was black and a solid mass of nothingness, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that's how it's going to be in the end. When he comes here and he says, "Let there be light," light will fill the earth. And isn't it ironic that right now, thousands of people across the world are converting to Christianity? They're converting to being a Christian. Muslims are converting. That is the good news of the kingdom. Because if God comes back to earth, if God comes down, if Jesus comes down from heaven and says, "Let there be light," there will be light. We don't even need to worry about it. I don't fear death, and I don't fear the evil in this world. I'm amazed at how bad it's gotten. Sometimes I read the news and I do believe in a certain amount of research, and we'll just call it that. I study a lot of different books because I want to know what their thought process is. I've always been that way. Because I don't think you can fight evil if you don't know what they're doing. So I do read a lot, and I study a lot, and I watch a lot. And I try to figure out, you know, what the right path is and, you know, what we should be doing. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Right? He'll make it straight. It's confusing. I mean, the scribes and the hand of the scribes and what they've changed, I think they've changed a lot. I think that we don't even understand the truth at this point, but I think we will. You need to be strong. You need to not be frightened of the enemy, because the enemy, I mean, look, if they kill you, you live forever. Anybody that dies for the name of Jesus will live forever. We already know that. They don't have power over you. They don't have power over your life. They can put all the chemicals they want in food, and they can try to kill us and bomb us and do all of that, but the victory is already God's. I wish that I could fight this war for God. I wish I could, but I can't. It's not about me. But it is. Like, I guess it's all about the people here that are good, right? But it's his war. And we got to trust that he knows what's going on. And I think there's no way he doesn't know what's going on. In fact, I have a belief that Jesus said a lot of the things. Like he said, his words will last for generations, for a very long time. And I think he said the things he did so that we would know what it meant. So that we would be prepared when they came for us. Because they are coming. But God is on our side, and God is powerful, and he is the God that will win this, the God that created this universe. I'm praying to the God of the universe, the God that created the universe and the earth and Adam. I usually start my prayers like that. Because who knows what the false hand of the scribes did, right? Because we have to. I was thinking about this the other day, the parable of the wheat and the tares, and I had this massive realization that it applied to the Bible too. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, that story applies to our world. It applies to the Bible, everything. There is good in the Bible, and there is stuff that's not so true in the Bible. But it is until the end that we're going to know what that thing was, right? What God and Jesus really meant. Because we do not know everything of God. We don't know. And anybody can argue for their religion. I've had many arguments about religion all the time, right? And the thing I say is, how do you know? Well, it's by faith. Okay. Everybody has faith in God, and that's what God says is important, right? Jesus said, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor, right? Those were the two most important commandments. As long as you do that, you are on the right path, right? So I think that is what we know. I believe the words of Jesus Christ, right? I believe that you should live according to the law, you know. God knows your heart, and that's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. And I honestly believe that, right? You guys can fight over all your religions, and it's fine, but that's exactly what they want us to do. They want us to tear apart our neighbors over these insurmountable little details because they want us to be divided. Because as long as we're fighting each other, we are not united against them. And once you realize that, you understand the oneness of all religions, all of them, right? All of them. They may be different in the way that they practice their religion, and they may do this or they may believe that, but the heart is what matters. The heart. He knows your heart. So get out of that trap. Stop hating your brother because they do things differently. Start loving your brother because they love God. That is a good way to start. And it sounds impossibly simple, right? I had a conversation with my cousin about this, and you know, we were talking about the differences of this church versus that church, and I can tell you the differences versus the church versus what I believe, and it's usually doctrine issues. But the problem is, I don't think any church is all bad. I think the Catholic Church is not all bad. I think that you have to give trust and love to God, that anything that God has created, that Jesus created the church, right? We believe that Jesus created the church of Christ. He doesn't bear bad fruit, right? No matter what they've changed, what they've done, what is true, we're never going to know what's true until the end. And I know that God will not throw good people out. He knows people's hearts. And if their heart is good and they are doing the right things and they believe in Jesus, and I do believe that that is a tenet, right? I think you have to believe in Jesus. But I honestly believe that trusting God and knowing that He is going to fill this world with light is one of the best things you can do. There is no loss. There is no reason to be afraid. So that is my message for this week. And, you know, this was given to me in meditation. And these are hard times. We're kind of there, right? But have faith. Have faith in God. Stop worrying about the differences in religion. Start worrying about loving your brother. Start worrying about loving God more than you love your house. Love God more than you love your car. Love God more than you love your husband. Love God more than you love your children. Love God more than you love your TV or your VCR or your hot tub. At the end of the day, you just need to love God and let His love rain down upon you. Stop worrying about all the petty stuff and who is going to heaven and who is going to hell. Because I tell you very truly that you have no idea who is going and who is not. So stop worrying about it. Do not be anxious in the Lord. Anyway, that's the message for today. I'm going to wrap this up with a prayer and a song. We'll say the prayer first, and we'll end it with a song. And I just want to thank all the people that listen to the radio show and to the podcast, obviously. I will have a subscriber podcast this week talking about some of the things that came to me during meditation. And you know, hopefully you guys tune into that, and I will see you next week. Dear God, Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings that you give to us daily, despite the fact that we are unworthy in your eyes. Thank you for giving your Son to die for our sins I wish we could have appreciated him more while he was here. But his effect on the world has been great. We believe that you came, and we believe that you can fill the earth with light because you've done it before. And even in the darkest corners of this world, it is not absent light. Please watch over our friends and family. Help everybody turn to God and help us find the unity with each other that we need. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. You sing. Thank you.